session number 10602, Reel 20.
Mr. Elliott, Reel 20. You were describing your duties when it came to the officer bathing. Did your officer bathe regularly?
Oh, yes, maybe twice a day if they could get the water. Or they would have cold water showers. They might have cold water showers. But yes, they bathed every day.
How long would it take you to supervise his bathing?
Oh, it wouldn't take long, because it just depends when he finished at the office. He'd come in at around 4 o'clock, and they'd have a light tea, a couple of sandwiches, thin sandwiches, or maybe some cake and a cup of tea. Then he'd go back to the office, and he would come maybe about 6 o'clock. Well, he might have returned earlier than that, but he'd come to his quarters maybe about 6 o'clock or so, and they'd have a bath then. All the officers would. Not at the same time, because they wouldn't get the water at the same time, hot water. But they would come, and all the officers would have a bath before changing for dinner.
Can you tell me about what your role was when he changed for dinner? What did you have to do?
Well, take his old things, the dirty things away, and take his Sam Brown belt and boots and clean them, and have them all ready for the next day.
And did you actually have to help him with his uniform when he...
Not necessarily, no, but you couldn't, because it was khaki drill shirts and slacks, or khaki drill shirts and shorts.
So it wasn't a very formal dinner dress then?
Oh, for the dinners, yes, they would have white. They would have the blue trousers, which were tight-fitting, and they would have, like, Wellington boots. And you had to fix the trousers into the boots, so that when he put his feet into the boots and he pulled the trousers up, the boots was there and the trousers was on. And you put fresh socks out every day. That would be clean socks every day when they went to mess. And that clean socks every morning before he went on parade. Or when I said to the office. You see, everything he did was a parade, if you like.
And what about the white uniform, was that difficult to keep clean, did you?
Well, you got it as soon as the water once, it was cleansed, washed, taken by the dobie, or the laundry person. We called them dobies.
So you didn't have to do that yourself?
Oh, no, no, that was handed over to someone else, yes. I mean, our uniforms was handed over to the... Even in this country, we had people or laundries who did ours.
And what other duties did you have apart from responsible for the bathing in the evening and...
Well, you would be required from time to time to wait on at mess.
Could you describe what you had to do there?
Well, serve the officers.
What was the mess like?
Well, there was a large table, and all the officers sat around. And you would have a mess sergeant and a lance corporal permanent, and maybe a couple of mess waiters. But when the meal was served, you see, that had to be served quickly, so they would have so many mess... Batman would be acting as mess waiters. Every batman was supposed to be capable of waiting on a table. And you would serve the meals. Every course would be served. And then you would clear the plates away after each course. And then, you know, you would carry on from one course to the next. Sometimes that number of courses.
Were you given any instructions on how to wait on table?
You were told by the mess sergeant when you went what was expected of you, and then you would go and you would just carry on from there. You had to accept the fact that you could do it.
Yes, what was expected of you? Can you recall what you...
Just serving maybe putting a clean plate down, or taking a plate away, taking a dirty glass away, a glass that had been used. When I say dirty, it's a used glass, but you know, we would call them dirty if they'd been used. and we'd lift them and take them away and replace them for the next course.
Were you told, for example, to stand on one particular side of people when you served them and took things away?
Not necessarily. You would serve at one side of the person and you would take away from the other. Now, which whether it was right or left, I'm not certain, because it's so long ago. And it's so long ago since I did any waiting. But I do think you served on the left and took away at the right.
And did you just wait on your own officer, or was it a matter of a
the
table?
No, you were supposed to be capable of doing to your officer. But when you went as a mess waiter, you waited on anyone. Usually the mess sergeant attended to the CO, or the corporal would attend to the CO. But the other lads who were on duty, anyone, wherever there was an empty plate or a plate needed serving, you would just do it. It didn't matter who it was. Because I think the whole idea was to serve them all as quickly as possible, so that if it was a hot meal, they all got a hot meal, and not some got a hot meal and a cold one. Others, you know, a cooler. But this was done quite quick. Each course was done quite quick.
When they were eating, where did you have to stand?
Just stand back. Maybe, depending on the size of the dining room, you would just stand back and wait. Sometimes the mess sergeant would give a signal, a movement of his hand, when he thought all the officers had finished that course. He maybe just give a nod of the head or a movement of the hand, just a signal to say, you can clear away now, rather than taking away while officers were maybe talking while one had finished and the other one hadn't. So you had to wait until each course was finished by the officers at meal, at the mess.
At the end of the meal, did you have to stay and clear away the whole table after the officers had gone?
A certain, all the crockery if you would be taken away, or all the crockery and condiments, because there is a customary rule, I think, that the drink, the sovereign's health in port at the last, they may drink other drinks during the meal, but I think at the end of the mess, I'm not sure whether this happens every day or whether it's on the special night duty. There's one special night in the week of every week that was what they called mess night, and that was the night the regimental band played. One particular night was given one night was given as which was mess night or guest night, and all officers had to attend that one, and if they had guests, the guests could attend, but the regimental band played outside the mess that night. And at the end of the night, the bandmaster would be invited into the mess, and he would be given a drink. He would be given one drink. I don't know what he got, but he would get one drink given by the mess sergeant or one of the officers. But I'm not sure how that was done, because I never saw it happen. You see, because when that was on, we would be either waiting on in the mess or we wouldn't be there at all.
Can you recall, are there any special regimental toasts or customs apart from the one you've already described?
Not that I can recall. I'm not sure about this, mind. I think I've read it somewhere, but I could be wrong. I think the Durham's was a regiment which was permitted by the sovereign to drink the royal toast while they were seated on a troop ship. No, I could be wrong about that, but I think I've read somewhere about that. And I think the Durham's is one of the few regiments that was ever allowed that privilege. I don't know why, but I think they were allowed that privilege.
How long would these... When would these meals start in the evening?
Either around 7 or 7.30.
And how long would they go on for?
Oh, anywhere up to 2 hours. Just depending on what the meal was that particular night, and just depend on the officer's attitude. You know, when they get talking, it takes time. But it was usually a long meal. It was leisurely meal. You know, they never rushed. There was no rushing at any time at the mails, but it would take an hour at least, a good hour, for them to have the dinner.
Did this mean that you might miss your own meals from the?
Well, we would have had our last meal before dinner, officers' dinner, normally in the barracks. Now, also, it would make us so late we wouldn't be able to go to the canteen for to get a cup of tea or to get a, as they used to say, a charn ward before going to bed for the rest of the night. And the mess used to generally give the batmen, the waiters, a meal. The normal permanent staff would have their meals normally in the mess because they didn't mess outside the mess. But they would normally give us a meal. We would get a meal of some sort at the end of the night. And maybe a cup of tea. I'm not quite sure about that. But if you were in the UK, you'd certainly get a cup of tea. But or coffee, if there was any coffee left from the officers. They wouldn't throw it out. They would, you know, they would use it.
Was any waste food, not off their plates, but anything that was cooked and not consumed, were you offered the option?
Well, we would be given that as a meal, yes. Or the cook would do something extra to give the lads. It wouldn't be the same meal as the officers, but you'd get a meal. You'd get a meal.
Following that, was that when your duties had now ended for the day as far as being a batman was concerned, or did you have any further duties?
Your duties were, you would have to say that if there was mosquito nets, you'd have to say the mosquito net was tucked into the bed before, that was before the mess. You would have to say that before you went waiting on. After that, no, but the officer could call you any time in the 24 hours. If he wanted something, he could say, I want you here at a time, certain time, you would have to be there. If it was, doesn't matter whether it was morning, noon or night, you were there, you're his servant. You got a little extra duty pay for that. I think you got 10 shillings a month, 2 and 6 a week extra for doing that. You're a married officer, you got, I think it was 15 shillings or a pound. But you lived with the married officer then. You, at least you went to his quarters and looked, you tended that. The two different rates of pay. But that was extra duty pay, and that was because you were on, you know, you were at the beck and call of the officer for the full 24 hours.
Well, I'll come back to that in a minute. One thing we haven't covered in the sort of everyday duties that you had was your duties in the morning, first thing in the morning. What would you have to do there?
Well, take hot water. First take tea, a cup of tea from the mess to the officer and call him. We used to call it gunfire. I think every old soldier would say that. We'd take the officer his tea, early morning tea, then we'd get his shaving water, hot water and shaving water, and you'd call the officer up and you make sure he got up. Mind, there was one period of time when one of the worst times in my life, I think. I was becoming to get frightened, to be quite honest.
Why was that?
Well, seemingly, I was looking after him, my boss, and the officer, his friend, because there's something that happened to his batman. I don't know exactly what, but I was looking after these two officers for this one night and morning. And they must have been on the binge the night before. You know, they must have had a few more drinks than they normally would have had. Well, they had. It must have been. And they had to be on parade at a certain time. Well, my boss was the adjutant. That's the second most important man in the battalion. And I nearly had to drag him out of bed at the finish. I had to pour cold water over his face, wet his bedding to get him to awaken. I couldn't get the other officer awake, and no matter what I did. And, you know, you have to be very careful because you could be charged with striking an officer, trying to get them out of bed. And mind, they're your bosses. So I got some cold water and poured it over the officer's face. And he started... I said, if you don't get up out of bed, sir, I said, you're going to be absent off parade. I said, you only have a bare minimum time, which he had, to get up, wash, shave, and on parade. And you know, they had to be there. The CO would be on parade. And is Mr. Clapton up? I said, no, I can't get him up. I said, he's worse than you. I said, I can't even get him moved. And my boss got out of bed and tipped him out of his bed. That's the only way they could get him out. And my boss was, you know, he was still a bit woozy. And that was the adjutant. I were a dear, that was, more than that. Well, you know, to not get your office on parade, I mean, that's a reflection on you, as well as him. But you would be blamed more than he would. And, you know, this was, and I had two of them. It's bad enough getting one up, but trying to get two out of bed was, that was a morning.
Did they thank you for your efforts?
Oh, no, just accepted normal duties. There was no apologies for, you know, oh, no, they didn't apologise. That was their way of life. You had to accept that.
Oh, again, I'll come back to that in a moment. Following having got your officer to breakfast and shaved and on all that.
Well, they didn't get to breakfast. They were on parade before breakfast.
I'm not talking about that.
Oh, sorry. Sorry.
But just generally speaking.
Aye.
Were there any other duties you would have that you haven't mentioned so far?
You would tidy. You would start going through the bungalow after they'd left. After they'd left after breakfast, when they'd gone to do the, you know, when they'd gone to the office for the day's work, then you would start cleaning out, take the dirty water out, and clean. Clean the bowls or jugs, whatever you'd used for to carry the water. You'd clean all that out, and you'd take all the dirty, the previous day's kit, and you'd bundle that up until you had a certain amount. Then you'd get the Dobie wallet to wash them and fetch them back.
At lunchtime, you said there was a light lunch. Did you have any particular duties there?
Unless one of the mess orderlies would be sick or unable to carry out his duties, then the mess sergeant would maybe detail one of the batmen. He would see maybe one or two batmen to come and give a hand. You were flexible like that, considering. But the mess sergeant, other than your officer, he was your boss. He was like a foreman, if you like. And if he wanted anything doing, which his normal staff couldn't do, he would just ask, and he would say, I want you and you and you to come, and you would go. There would be no argument because he was boss. Training again, you see. It's normal training.
Okay. You mentioned some time ago that you were on call over the 24-hour period.
Why?
Can you give any instances where you were asked to do duties that were not run-of-the-mill everyday duties but were unusual?
No, I can't recall anything, not at the time. Mind you, know these officers, although they were strict, you know, and they carried out the duties, you could approach them, you know, once you were the batman and you were doing your job, and if you did a good job, although the officer was still always the officer, sometimes you could talk to them and they would talk to you. But it was not common, not a common event.
Well, what did you actually think of Mr. Jeffries, your officer? Did you get on with him all right?
Oh, yes. He was a strict officer.
In what ways was he strict?
Disciplinary. He was a disciplinarian. Oh, yes. He was. His father had been colonel of the regiment. He'd been the CEO of the battalion when he was serving in it. But by that, without that, he was still a good soldier. You know, if he said a thing, he meant it. He'd passed staff college, so, you know, he was the senior lieutenant. He would be next for captain. When it came to promotions, he'd be next for captain, company commander, if you like, or adjutant. The junior captain was usually adjutant if he'd passed up college. And you could get on with the officers, you know. They were fairly, let's put it this way, they were officers and you were not, and they had the off days like anybody else. I mean, if things had gone wrong during the day at the office or on parade or whatever it was, then you could expect them that, just like yourself. If something goes wrong, you'd be a bit tied up or tight, if you like.
Can you recall any incidents with Mr. Jeffries?
No, I don't think so. For all the time I was with him, and I was with him a good while. What I would call a good while, anyway.
And how long was that?
Well, I started in India end of 36. I was with him the whole of 37 and about halfway through 38. And I was in four different countries, if you like. No, three different countries with him. I was in India, the Sudan and Britain. And I did training with him. And I lived in his home when we were stationed at Napale in Surrey. I attended on both him and his wife, and had a daughter, and sometimes the guests of the family. I looked after them.
How did the rest of the family treat you when you were in England?
All was fair and good. I cannot recall one wrong word except Mrs. Jeffries' mother, the mother-in-law, and I had been warned by the nanny, and that was when we were in England, and I bent backwards. I even crossed my fingers, my toes, you name everything to keep, because I'd heard that she found fault with everybody. No matter where she went, she caused problems within her family, and they had a number of daughters and sons. And whichever one she went to, she caused a upset in that household.
Ooh, how did she manage to upset you?
Oh, aye.
How did she manage to do that?
On the last few minutes she was with us. At Lightwater in Surrey, Mrs. Jeffries had come to me and she said, could you set a tray with a light meal, sandwiches or some cake and a glass of milk for my mother, because she's going to catch a certain train from Bagshot to bring her up to the north where she lived, up at Towlow. They lived up in the Towlow area. And I said, yes. I said, that's quite sore. I said, I'll see Cathy the cook. And I went and saw Cathy. And I was in my working clothes. You know, I was in fatigue dress. I was only in my blues when I was waiting on or at meals. When I'd finished the day's work in the house, cleaning the house, changing fires, relighting them and things like that, and helping the cook with the washing up and what have you. That was part of the duties, and as I say, and I spoke to Cathy, and she made the tray, and she put a nice little light lunch on the tray, and a glass of milk, and I carried it into the old lady. She was in the lounge rather than the dining room, and there was a little table set aside for her, and she had the meal, got dressed, and left to go. She was supposedly on her way to catch the train, and before Mrs. Jeffries went with her in the car, I said, would it be possible for me to have a bath before I serve lunch? She said, of course. She says, leave the bath clean, because there was only the one bath, and that was the only way I could have a bath. And you know, I always used to ask permission either of her or the boss, and they always give it without reservation unless they wanted it at a particular time. They might say, yes, you can have it straight away, or can you wait a while? And they were always good like that. And I'd asked Mrs. Jeffries, she said yes. So didn't I go and get a bath straight away so that I could change into my blues for to serve the luncheon meal for Mrs. Jeffries and the boss and the nanny? And didn't the old lady come back? She hadn't caught the train. She came back to the house, and she wanted a meal there and then, another meal there and then, and there I was in the bath. And of course, because I wasn't there to serve it, she blew the top, and I was called everything under the sun. So when the boss came at dinner time, he came about 12 or round about there, I asked him to return me to duty. I said I wouldn't put up with that from anyone. I said I had done no wrong to anyone. I had bent backward. I'd gone all ways. I said I'd even been warned by Nanny that she would cause trouble. And I said she wasn't in the house when I went to get a bath. I said she was supposed to be on her way home. And I said she caused such a scene. I said I don't have to take that from any woman. I says, or any person. I said, I'm requesting to go back to barracks. So by then the old lady had gone, you see. She'd gone out of it altogether. So when the boss came in after he'd been to the office, and he came down, finished the day's work, he'd get in about 5 o'clock or so. He sent for me, and I went into the dining room and had a chat with him, and he said, you know, you and I have been together, we've never had a row at all. I said, I know. And he says, you want to leave me like that? I said, when is the old lady going to come back? I said, I'm not going to have those scenes at any time. I said, I've done no wrong. I said, I try and give 100% effort in everything I do for you and Mrs. Jeffries in this house. But I says, when a stranger comes in, I says, and causes an uproar like she did, I said, I don't take that from anyone. I said, I'm supposed to be a soldier. I says, not a skivvy for her. I says, for you and Mrs. Jeffries, I said, I'll do anything. But I says, for that woman, I said, I'll do nout. So, anyhow, he talked us over. He says, well, he said, you know, I'm going into camp with the territorials. And he says, I've got to have a batman. He said, you've been with me so long. He said, will you come? I said, well, where are you going? And he said he was coming up to Northumberland. And it was the 151 Brigade of the 6th, 8th and 9th Durhams. And it was near Hannock. I just forget the name of the place now. But it was up near Hannock, a bit further up between Hannock and the coast, and a bit further northeast. And I said, all right, I'll come. Well, I was due for my annual leave around about then. And he said, you may have to put your leave off a few days because the territorial camp is different to the regular army. And of course I went with him, and I was attached to the 6th Battalion. Well, they have black buttons and badges. Well, being a regular, we always was bright. And of course I got the nickname of being Bright Buttons. You know, I was the one that was different.
At this point, did you sort of decide to stay with Mr.
Well, Jeffries? I was staying with Jeffries, but I knew then when he'd come as I'll not say I knew, but the feeling was there that he'd been adjutant for nearly a year with the 2nd Battalion, and as he was coming as a officer attached to supervise the 6th Battalion, as only a regular officer does adjutant to the territorial battalions, he's the only regular officer with them. And I had a feeling he was leaving to come to that battalion. And shortly after we got back, and after I'd had my leave and went back, I found that he had been appointed captain. He'd been promoted to captain and appointed adjutant to the 6th Battalion. And of course, regular batmen are not allowed to go with a regular officer to a territorial battalion. You had to get a territorial to do the job.
So that ended your career with Captain Jeffries?
Yes.
Well, I'd like now to go back to Khartoum.
Yeah.
And just ask you a few things about your stay there. Apart from your duties as batman, did you have any army exercises to go on?
Well, we did our normal weapons training course. There was a range there, rifle range there. We did that. And then I was training to be a batman driver. That was learning to be... We had never had motor transport, by the way, in the regiment. It had always been horse transport, except when we were in India, they had the Indian Army Service Corps. So when we were coming back to home, the transport was motorised. Unit transport was motorised. So therefore, all batmen were supposed to train as